Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you're in New York this weekend, you may notice an unusual number of superheroes and Klingons and zombies. And you may be thinking, well, that's just Saturday night in New York. But the truth is, this weekend is different, because it's the grand finale of New York Comic Con, an orgy of comic-swapping, Dothraki-speaking, role-playing geeks. That's a lot of people wandering around our little corner of the earth looking for something to listen to. So I've come up with a little playlist for the sci-fi fan in all of us, and I'll share a bit of that with you later on the show. Almost forgot to mention, there will be a fair number of Batmans walking around Gotham, too, and in just a bit, we'll take a look back at what happened when Batman teamed up with the Purple One, and I'm not talking about the Joker. And we'll hear live music from the South African rapper Tumi, who is making his U.S. debut right here on our show. But you know, all this talk about Hollywood has got me thinking about movie trailers, and a recent movie about movie trailers. In fact, I think the trailer for that movie about movie trailers sounded something like this.
In a world of glamour and greed, a world of money and mystery, one man must find a way to describe to all of humanity this world. One man will leave his mark on this world by uttering these three powerful words, in a world. And that one man is
a woman.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the voice of Lake Bell, the writer, director, and star of the movie In a World. Lake, I don't normally ask my guests to get involved in their own introduction, but it just somehow seemed appropriate for you.
Thank you. yes, at any point, if you give me, you know, headphones and a microphone, I'm gonna pretty much get excited and want to participate.
Now, how long have you been sort of interested in the kind of inherent musicality of our voices, the difference in our voices, the kind of impact of our voices?
I guess I was always vocally self-aware, and I started to obsess about the people around me and the sort of hilarity in characterizations that were formed just based on how someone sounds, whether they're really nasal or whether, you know, they're kind of guttural or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, sure, it starts with cartoons a little bit, which, you know, you start to kind of mimic and you listen to these voices. And I remember the first time, someone told me that, you know, a certain character was played by a woman, even though the character was male.
Like Bart Simpson.
Like, for instance, Bart Simpson. But that kind of blew my mind. I think the idea that, oh, my goodness, you can be anyone, you know, it's the blind voice. You aren't judged by what you look like, but you really can be anything. You could be any social niveau or any, you know, any nationality, but any gender for that matter.
In what you just said, in the last 60 seconds, you used three different voices in three different registers. I mean, do you have, I mean, which is the natural Lake Bell voice?
I try my hardest every day to speak as I was born, and this is my natural voice. But I think, you know, in the same way that I lived in England, I went to drama school there, and, you know, everyone said, oh, my God, did you get the accent? And I was like, no, not at all. I mean, God, I'm so self-aware. If anything, I became more American because I was the token American at my college. So I think if you – and I was constantly studying voice. So if you're listening to your voice, there's no way that a little like, oh, yeah, absolutely, would get in there. I mean, there's no way that I would, oops, all of a sudden say brilliant, you know, or boot.
So the idea of doing a movie about the voiceover industry, this incredible – not just male-dominated, but dominated by like literally a handful of male voices.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are female voices that – are working and extremely successful. But there's just, I think when it comes to the movie trailer industry, that's where I found a massive dearth of female voices. Right. And that is without hyperbole. There's virtually none. I mean, Melissa Disney being the only woman to have done it. And there was actually one woman actually came, tweeted me and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I did a TV spot for, you know, a film that came out. So the point is, it's very few.
Right.
And I thought, ooh, that's an opportunity to sort of playfully talk about more real issue that is perhaps feminist.
Yeah. But without, you know, without being up on your, you know, on your pedestal, on your soapbox or anything like that. It's a very funny movie called In a World, and it's available now to stream on Netflix and Amazon Prime. The movie is written and directed by my guest Lake Bell, who stars as Carol Solomon, who is the daughter of one of these handful of vocal artists.
Yes. Fred Melamed masterfully plays Sam Soto, who is the reigning sort of king of the voiceover industry. And he's loosely based on, I mean, he's not really based on Don LaFontaine, but he basically has fame because of Don LaFontaine.
And Don LaFontaine is actually mentioned in your film one of numerous times
where
the line between fact and fiction gets a little blurry.
Yes, because I think in order for Sam Soto, Fred Melamed, his character to have that chip on his shoulder, like he's not the guy, you know, like
he's not Don LaFontaine.
Right. The master and the legend was Don LaFontaine,
who died in 2008.
Yes,
and he's the guy. They say he coined the phrase
he penned
"in
it.
A world."
Yes, ooh, it's fun to say, isn't it?
did he actually write? Doesn't someone else write the script?
Well, he was a copywriter. The story goes that he sort of wrote copy for trailers and whatnot. And some guy didn't show up for the session, so they, you know, they're like, Don, why don't you get in there and record a temp track? And lo and behold, you know, all trailers were changed forever.
The website Funny or Die did a mashup of Don LaFontaine trailers just to give you an idea of the voice that we're talking about.
In a world, in the year 2017,
in a time of tradition,
in a city where anything can happen,
in a war that isn't his,
every day in New York City,
on the Miami police force,
in the deep south,
from the sewers of Gotham, from the rooftops of Gotham, above Gotham,
within this skyscraper high above the city,
in a town driven by competition,
in a world that's powered by violence.
It's so fun.
That is the real Don LaFontaine. And Lake Bell, you are absolutely right. It is so much fun to drop down a register and go, in a world.
Yeah, it's this thing that I just found. I remember, you know, just with friends, even just sort of voice-overing very banal things like, in a world where one woman needs to use the Ladvertor, you know, it's like whatever it was. And sort of considering why a female voice has never been able to do that. So that's really where the conversation started. And
right.
It's sort of silly and fun. You know, it's the whole job, the occupation is playful.
And the movie, In a World, sort of turns on this idea that they're going to bring back, they can't bring back Don LaFontaine,
no,
but they can bring back his catchphrase.
Exactly.
And
with great respect, they want to resurrect those three little words.
Right. And your character, Carol, as someone who's doing vocal coaching and is the daughter of this famous vocal actor, finds herself in a position of maybe kind of getting that job.
Yeah, I mean, she inadvertently sort of becomes a voice in the community and very quickly sort of becomes kind of a hip choice, which threatens the hubris of her father, who is the reigning king.
And he decides that he's now going to get back in the game and compete. And in this scene from the movie, In a World, Lake Bell and Fred Melamed and
Ken Marino, who plays sort of my nemesis, but also that my character might or might not sleep with. And so this becomes sort of a montage of vocal competition.
In a world
where a hybrid breed of mutant male savages
are feeding on the barren lands of Mother Earth.
A time where mankind has been replaced by womankind.
A battle of epic strength will collapse a barbaric enemy.
One woman
dare to rise up and exceed the boundaries of the impossible. From the literary phenomenon that inspired a generation comes a quadrilogy
of one brave warrior who must fight for her land.
From BAFTA-winning director Terrence Pouncer, the Amazon Games.
It's a broad new world.
That is so cheesy. It's perfect.
Thanks.
It's perfect. Lake Bell is with me on Soundcheck. She's the writer, director, and star of In a World, and has also acted in It's Complicated and What Happens in Vegas and No Strings Attached, etc. Fred Melamed, and it was pretty clear to me just from listening to him that this guy was in the business in real life.
Oh, he's big time.
Ken Marino has the cheese factor down pat.
He is, you know, he has an access to cheesiness in his repertoire.
And what were you going for there? Were you playing for laughs, or were you really trying to make point that, hey, I can do this?
No, I mean, I'm not a fan of ever playing for laughs, really. I like, you know, I shot this movie like a drama, you know, and every scene was attacked and respected as, you know, real circumstances and grounded in reality. And, you know, that's sort of a fantasy for a comedian anyway, a comedic actor, you know, to really take it seriously. So both Ken Marino, I mean, look, Ken Marino, me, and Fred all took that really seriously.
Yeah.
And I thought that's the only way that it's going to be hilarious.
Yes. Yeah.
And really silly. So, you know, I mean, we all tried our hardest. And, you know, of course, Fred Melamed being actually a master voiceover artist, you know, his sounds pretty professional.
Yeah.
But also Ken Marino's character kind of represents the new school, kind of the sort of rising trend in the voiceover community and announcing for this sort of everyday man. You know, meet Jack. He's one guy who just, you know, that kind of more, you know.
Is that the new trend in announcing? Is that what I'm supposed to be?
No.
Is that what I'm supposed to be doing here?
God, no. No, but you know what I'm saying. Like in voiceover, that kind of, that sort of like snarky, you know, sarcastic. I'm just a guy like you. I got a garage and a motorcycle, you know.
Well, as you say, Melissa Disney is a voiceover actor who's gotten some work and has
a lot of work.
Bit part in your movie.
Yes, she does. Her scene is not in the movie, but it will be on the DVD. She did a great scene. And yes, she did Gone in 60 Seconds. She's sort of like famous in the community for doing the only.
And you know, she has a kind of a sultry voice without being the sexy baby voice that your character is. Fingernails on a blackboard to her when she hears that. And she hears it throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Increasing comic effect as the movie goes along.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Because it's with, I mean, look, it's with great respect and playfulness that I poke fun at that particular affectation. But yes, I think, you know, sultry is different than, you know, sexy baby, which I think is diminutive.
Where does that voice? I mean, this.
Which one, the sexy baby?
The sexy baby voice is everywhere now.
I think it originated somewhere west, and you know, it started even just with the culture of Valley Girl,
right? The Valley Girl speak,
yeah. But that was kind of a whole way to dress and way to be and what kind of car to drive. I mean, that was in everything, all encompassing culture. But the voice actually now has morphed into a myriad of different things, sort of a cocktail of these different affectations. So it's pet, but it's also up talking and then fry. So it's like this mix of, you know, it's not even like saying the word like, but it's insinuating it. So it's insinuating this sort of I don't know, like you're less than, you know, than the rest of the people in the world, which I think is really unfair because a lot of well-educated, smart, cool ladies and gals are speaking that way. And so in the movie, I'm sort of saying, hey, you can do better than that.
Right. And it's not doing them any favors, as in this scene from Lake Bell's movie, In a World.
I guess let's start with Stacey. Stacey, what do you do for a living?
I'm a corporate attorney.
Great. And I know you've been on a job hunt. How's that going for you?
Well, I've been interviewing for about 10 months.
And why do you think that is?
Because I sound like a sexy baby.
Which may be great for the bedroom.
Yeah, it is.
But am I really gonna hire a sexy baby to defend me in a patent infringement lawsuit?
It's a good point.
Look, it's a good point. Listen, do whatever you want in closed doors. Frankly, do whatever you want as you walk around the world. But I feel that if you, you know, do talk that way and you're trying to achieve the goals in your life, that perhaps you're doing yourself a great disservice by putting yourself in a section that is not the contenders. You know, if you walk through the door, even if it's like across, you know, sitting across the table of a really cool guy, or it's walking into that room to do that interview for that job, you know, and you have that voice, I mean, sometimes, I mean, more often than not, you're not going to get hired, because I wouldn't want my company being represented. I mean, I couldn't have anyone on my set who spoke that way. I had a girl come in, and a very sweet, sweet girl, smart, great on paper, come in to be my my assistant on the movie, you know, my director's assistant. And she was like, I just want to say, like, I really want to be here. And like, I've worked really. And I was like, oh, my God, you lost me at hello. Like, I can't hire you. I think you're a great kid. You know, but I'm going to have to make this movie, have you see it, and then get the message in a sweet way, and then perhaps we can talk.
Can those things, they're affectations, right? They can be changed?
Absolutely.
Is that the point?
I mean, look, a lot of people, you know, if you grow up with a sibilance or a lisp or...
A heavy Queens accent?
Or a heavy Queen, yeah. No, but some... Really?
Yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
All right. So this
yeah,
is great.
No,
so
I asked my friends to play in the street after school, you know?
But that's what's so interesting is that, you know, and it's not to say the Queen's accent is a bad accent. It's just
perhaps, it's a bad accent.
Well, I kind of love it. But look, I'm an accent aficionado and lover. So for me, I'm like, oh, put it on. But this isn't an accent. It's sort of, it's like you said, an affectation.
Yeah.
And similarly, you know, there are, you know, communities of people who take on different accents.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've spent a lot of time in Japan, but apparently women are taught to speak a certain way to men.
Oh, interesting.
Which is different from how they speak to each other. I mean, traditionally, but it's still taught.
In pitch?
Yeah, it's at a higher pitch.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah.
We're speaking with Lake Bell, who's the star and producer and director and writer of the film In a World, which is, it's not just about the voiceover industry, it's about the sound of our speech and the sound of our world, and of course there's music involved. And how, I mean, this is your movie. You must have been pretty involved in that part of it.
I was. Chris DeRuytis was my music supervisor.
Formerly of KCRW.
Indeed, indeed. And my score was done by Ryan Miller of Guster.
Mm-hmm.
And both gentlemen, I am very thankful for A, putting up with my demands and allowing me to collaborate with them. I'm really proud of the score that Ryan did, and especially because I said to him, so hard, but I was like, I want like Afro jazz funk meets new age, you know, new wave.
And did you use
wave,
that voice when you said that?
New wave. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of weird voices. I'd be like, oh, like new wave meets Afro jazz funk, you know. But so he did an amazing job. And then, yeah, we've got, I didn't want any of the music to be too contemporary. Mm-hmm. I feel like the movie, we all get it. It's taking place now. So I tried to take, you know, measures to keep it kind of timeless as I could and cityless as I could. Like, there's no Capitol Records building, you know, shots. There's very little palm trees. There's no iPhone, because I think the iPhone sort of brings us, it's almost like having a celebrity in your movie. It's like, it takes you out, you know?
Yeah.
So, same with the music. I wanted to have music that, within my budget, music that I grew up with that felt evocative and that brought you somewhere. And I have grew up with older brothers. My brother Luke always exposed me to music. And I guess that's why Jerry Rafferty is in the movie and had to be in the movie. That's why I wrote in Tears for Fears, you know.
What was the song you were most excited to get into the film?
Probably Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, because I had written that into the movie, which was bold for a tiny movie, because of course, you know, my producers were like, we can talk about that. I'm like, it's in the movie. Well, we can discuss it. It's in the movie, you know, because it just always felt, I don't know, it was sort of naive for me to write it into the movie to know that what if I couldn't have gotten it?
Right.
But I'm very thankful to it. I do use it twice in the movie as well.
It ends the movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The movie is called In a World, and it stars Lake Bell. She wrote and directed it as well. It is a lot of fun, in addition to raising, you know, some questions about, you know, how we present ourselves with our voices and stuff. Lake, it's been really a lot of fun having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun.
Is called In a World, and it's available now to stream on Netflix and Amazon Prime. Up next, we're excited to bring you the U.S. debut of the South African poet and rapper named Tumi. The socially conscious wordsmith will perform here with his band in our studio next. And later, what if Prince wrote a song about Batman? Would it sound like Little Red Corvette, except with lyrics about a little black Batmobile? In fact, Prince did have a number one hit with a Caped Crusader-themed song. Do you remember it? Neither do I. We'll find out more in a bit. This is Soundcheck.
I'm Kevin from Flushing, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
In defense of my art, running my own race, not checking on your marks. What's up? In defense of my art, I am Nat Nagasa's Harlem Renaissance. In
defense of my art. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Republic of South Africa dismantled its apartheid regime and had its first open democratic election 20 years ago. That means that the first generation of musicians to grow up in a post-apartheid South Africa are now in their 20s or maybe early 30s and are helping to shape what the future of South African music will sound like. One of those musicians is the poet and rapper known as Tumi. He marries socially conscious lyrics to catchy tunes and is making his American debut with us here on Soundcheck today. Tumi brought his band into the studio, and he's going to start us off with a song that's gotten a lot of attention at home in South Africa. This is Hello Kitty, live on Soundcheck.
Sunbabe that needs an upgrade, cry she will die with him someday. Till she run away, take off to a paradise in the sky one way. Hello Kitty Bobtail, adolescent sunbabe that needs an upgrade while she's in love with a nutcase. Till she run away, take off with that young guy, fast car out there. Hello Kitty, hello, hello Kitty, what you gonna teach me if you're not loving me? I say hello Kitty, hello, hello, Kitty. What you gon' tell us if your Mandela's not in me? Hello, Kitty. Hello, hello, Kitty. What you gon' teach me if you're not loving me? I say, hello, Kitty. Hello, hello, Kitty. What you gon' tell us if your Mandela's not in me? Hello, hello, Kitty. Bright yellow pinky, sexing in the city, black bodied up like a king. Giovanni, silly, that's no designer from Italy. But if you with me, tell these young beezies you are Willy. See, I'm fixing up to tell you about my little Cinderella. That's really Winnie Mandela, speaking like Rivera. She living in this era where reading is in Bella. Luxury in umbrella and stay listening to fella. Shopping mall, Mirabelle, Assembly Hall,
you gon' teach me that my mom can't give me. I say, hello, Katine, hello, hello, Katine. But you tryna tell us, get your message on TV. Hello, Katine, Bob Dill, used to be a Sunday. That needs an upgrade, cry, she will die with him someday. She run away, take up to a paradise in the sky one way. Hello, Kitty Bobtail, adolescent Sunday. That needs an upgrade. Why she's in love with a nutcase? Do she run away, take off with that young guy, fast car outing? What's up? Hello, Kitty. Hello, hello, Kitty. What you gonna teach me if you're not Lauryn Hilly? I say, hello, Kitty. Hello, hello, Kitty. What you gonna tell us if your Mandela's not Winnie? You gon' tell us if your Mandela's not with me? What you gon' tell us if your Mandela's not with me? Yo! Hey! Hello!
That is Tumi, the South African rapper, and his band live on Soundcheck with the song Hello Kitty, which also featured Theo Tuge at our piano, Sean Davids behind our drum kit, and Ayanda Sitole playing the bass keytar, very much his own. That's not ours. Tumi, nice to have you and the guys here with us
today. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
I have been really loving the song. The original the original title is Hello, Hello Kitty.
Hello, Hello Kitty. Right.
This is a kind of a new
remix. It's a live version. You know, we try to keep it exciting for the stage. So
yeah, and it really rocks with the live piano and drums.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming this is not a song about the animated Japanese character.
No, it is not. It isn't. No, it is. I was inspired by it. I think I just recently had a daughter, and the idea and just the fear of raising a daughter in South Africa, and this idea of being raised by a single mother, and trying to looking at that is my only example of, for me, really, like, mm-hmm. The song is really about female heroism and how, it takes a lot of guts and power to be a Rihanna or a Beyonce Knowles, as much as it takes to become, to be a Winnie Mandela. And, if my daughter comes to me and says, her idol or the person that she reveres or the person who inspires her is a Rihanna, or I need to recognize that and not kind of just go, no, your heroes must be Winnie Mandela or. So, I think it's really that, just kind of going, okay, you know what, I need to be open to all of it.
The expression is holding up half the sky when people talk about, women and their role and stuff.
Exactly.
But, especially when you're talking about single mothers, they're holding up the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah. So now hip-hop's been in South Africa for a long time. Mm. But, you're representing a generation that's grown up in a free and open South Africa.
Yeah.
How has that changed things?
I think, you will find in every corner, I think, of our country, you'll find these subgenres, these, exciting new kind of like genres that people are latching onto just because of globalization and how much access we have to the world. But what has become interesting is how people are appropriating them to tell their own stories, and also kind of turning them on their heads, So it's still kind of like, you have a push to keep the traditional alive, and that's important.
Right.
But you kind of see that there's real tension between what is new music, and that's why it's amazing for us that Huma Sekela is introducing us at the Apollo. You mm-hmm. know, that is powerful.
Well, now, Hugh Masekela has been on this program a number of times over the years, and he represents a very different generation. In fact, the last time he was here, I played for him a version that an indie rock band Ted Leo and the Pharmacist had done of one of his early songs. And it was like really rocking and really loud and stuff. And Hugh hadn't heard it before. And he said, wow, they really got to, you know, the anger that was in that music. And we're talking about like early 70s.
Right.
He said, I couldn't express that at the time, but this guy has tapped into it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, now if you're feeling angry about something, you can actually come out and say it.
Yeah, I mean, those you know, it's there for us, you know, to kind of explore. You know, I feel it's really important to show the link, you know, because sometimes there is a disconnect between, like, you know, like what Hugh Masekela and them were doing and what we are doing, you know. Like, it is almost half my task to go, but there is a clear, very clear lineage.
Right. So you need to, you know, you're not cutting off the past.
No, not at all.
You're an extension of
it.
It's all a continuum. Now, what about, you know, are there different kind of rap scenes for the different? I mean, we know if people who are hip hop fans may know D'Antwoord, you know, the Afrikaans band. But, you know, there's Xhosa and Zulu and English and Afrikaans. So is the scene kind of fragmented by language?
Not by language. I think, if anything, by the sound. Mm. By sound. So, you know.
Well, that's same here, right?
Right, exactly. So I think earlier on, it was real, like, kind of like language fragmentation, because people felt very strongly about, and also you must remember, we were, you know, early 90s, we were forming our identity, our Rainbow Nation identity.
Yeah,
you know, we're trying to. So there was a lot of like, no, this is too American. What you guys are doing is too this, is too that. We need to keep some of our, you know. So now you find that people are also, with time, they've kind of grown into certain sounds and certain. So there's a little bit more sophistication, I think, you know. So it's really sound. It's like a lot of electronica stuff, like the D'Antwoord, for instance. As much as they're a hip hop band, but they fall under what is like EDM, or like more the dance scene in South Africa.
I see. Okay. We're speaking with Tumi, the South African poet and rapper, making his sort of unofficial American debut here with us on Soundcheck today. He's making his official debut at no less a theater than the Apollo on Saturday evening, 8 p.m. It's part of the Africa Now South Africa Festival, co-presented by the World Music Institute here in New York. And also on the bill will be the South African choir, The Soil, and the R&B singer, Simpiwe Dana. So you want to do another song for us?
Please.
All right.
Please.
This one also in English?
Yeah.
Is this from the new record, from Rob the Church?
This is Broke People.
All right. Tumi is with us here on Soundcheck, performing live. And once again, the most recent album that he's put out in South Africa is called Rob the Church. You'll find this song on it, but here's a live version of Broke People.
I see broke people, heartbroke people, down low sharing homes of cockroach people. Yeah, broke people, no J-O people, no loan, my Shonisa break your bones people. I mean broke people, catch a stroke people, hospital won't treat you, go and die alone people. No one need broke people, on TV shows people, 30 minutes won't fit they lifelong sequel. I seen broke people that once were broke people get their checks for bringing death in their own people. He can't obo na bantu ba ya lamba stulenge. Go to a sea business is ilungi sele la utata. Ongo etu, ongo to etu, eva kwetu, kwelu mtanda, zongo vinzi mandende. I see broke people, go slow people. They don't vote for ideas, they voting for people. Yeah, broke people, standing in the cold people. In they numbers, trying to win the lotto people. I mean broke people, Shabin gone people. At the club, guarding your Volvo people. Know any broke people, they might have stole from people. Got caught and killed off, put in a hole people. Funeral people, no insurance people. And what do you know, they get survived by broke people. I seen them all in the mall cleaning store windows. No apples or books, just fight those people. Cheers. They can't outbo na bantu ba ya lamba. Go to a sea, business is in lungi sele la utata. Home away to, home not
tandas, oh, Morgan's in my land, yeah. Think about it now, we don't stop there. How we living and we broke yesterday. Got us full no clang and isa. Who was in his hands was just pizza. So now look, I'm trying to get money. It don't mean no drama, we are born as body. But then again, I'm working with these guys. Hey, cool dude, see we make our demise. And it's each night till he's on with my back facing home. Cause I was never born all alone. Hey, I just here trying to make money. Hey, hey, got a bone, I want to buy a lamba to lend me. Go to a sea, busy season, lonely, say, Lela, Utata. Oh, no way to, oh, no, to way to, ever way to, play, don't tell us all, more than see my lame,
once again, that is Tumi, the South African rapper, in his American debut here on Soundcheck with a live version of his song Broke People. Once again with Theo Tuke at our piano and Sean Davids behind the drum kit and Ayanda Sitole playing the bass. The show is Saturday night, 8 p.m., October 11th. It's part of the Africa Now South Africa Festival, and it is at the Apollo Theater, co-presented by the World Music Institute. And Tumi, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us. This is like, we haven't even heard these songs like this, actually.
So this, well, now, you have a song to play us out with?
Can I?
Yes, you can.
All right, yeah, now, we'll
what,
figure something
out. What language is this Asinamale?
It's Zulu. It's Zulu. It means we don't have money. It's taken from a play from the 80s, popular play that was directed by Mbongeni Ngema. And it was a chant that people, you know, when they were boycotting a lot of the shops and the stores during apartheid, they would chant, "Asina mali, asina mali. We're not going to pay. We don't have money."
So, all right. Yeah. Let's hear the song.
Aye.
Once again, Tumi, the South African rapper. His latest album is called Rob the Church. And he'll be performing Saturday night at the Apollo, performing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Asina Mali.
Wait, wait, wait. Can I just say this? New York, New York! Let's go. Now when the money's in the system, ain't no telling them that they can go to prison for stuff that they be selling, cause it's enabler, sick in nature, so they keep chasing to get paid and bond, huh? It ain't the code of the streets, it's the code of the meek, that inherited, embezzled, and selling for cheap, from the thieves to the presidency, and etc. We are drenched by the stench of extra currency. That's the side B, we get bound to dream and only sleep 20 hours a week, trying to balance our needs against the company's greed, cause the working class hero is something to be. Hey, you hear the sound of the beat, start shuffling feet, not me, that's the hustle side beat. See, from the VA, you a puppet, old king, the ladder, but I gotta go give up one of those things. I can't decide if it's the money, they got the people going out of control. I can't decide if it's the money, they got the hard lights down in your soul. I can't decide if it's the money, hey, they got the people going out of control. I can't decide if it's the the root of all evil, the do it all placebo. It's suitable to eat and it's the fruit of my people. The dietary supplement, the poor gotta be broke. Provided by your government, the suits get illegal. Troops keep it exclusively for the heroes of the struggle. So they hustle that B-E-E dough. That's what you will need of. Cut you a piece of the pie or cut you if there are no supplies. I can't decide if it's just a disguise. Entrepreneur drive, pretending we all right. Get it at all jobs, spend what you don't got. But it can't settle the deficit you owe God. One free mind. Rude, be heartless, shrewd. These sharks don't bite the truth. I can spit a whole lung for you. Write a Bible, but even that's about how profits move. I can't decide if it's the money. They got the people going out of control. I can't decide if it's the money. Yeah, that put a low price tag on your soul. I can't decide if it's the money. Hey, they got the people going out of control. I can't decide if it's the money. Wait. gonna try a little something later. Okay. Let's switch it up a little bit. Hey. Okay. Hope you're singing with me. Let's go. Look here. Ha. I can't decide if it's the month. Yeah, I put a low price tag on your soul. I can't decide if it's the month. I got the people going out of control. I can't decide if it's the month. Okay. Hey, hey, ha, rock with me, come on. Let's go. Rock with me, come on.
That's Tumi performing the song Asinamale here in the Soundcheck studio. Coming up next, we revisit a number one hit from 25 years ago that happens to be really, really bizarre. Find out what happens when you put Prince together with Batman. Up next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Okay, space fans, this weekend is the big New York Comic Con, and that's gotten me to thinking about songs about extraterrestrial visitors and interstellar travel. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I've put together a list of a dozen tunes for sci-fi fans. It's on our website at soundcheck.org. But let me share just a couple of them with you now. First, I want to just point out, this list is for songs, not soundtracks. There's nothing from The Day the Earth Stood Still or Star Wars or any of that stuff. But the list begins with one song that kind of name-checks them all.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran.
Richard O'Brien singing his song Science Fiction Double Feature, the opening, of course, from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, this list of sci-fi themed songs could be like practically all a Bowie list, but I kept myself to one because I wanted to leave room for people like Janelle Monáe. She has this song called Many Moons, which is not just a song, she's actually produced a short film. It's about androids being sold at auction. The imagery is right out of Fritz Lang's movie Metropolis, but there's also a kind of uncomfortable echo of slaves at the auction block as well, despite which, it's a really catchy tune. That is Janelle Monáe, the arch-android, as she termed herself on a later record, but this is an earlier installment of her android adventure, the song called Many Moons. Now, perhaps the weirdest song on my playlist, and this is a playlist that includes the cosmic jazz of Sun Ra and an opera about an alien god, so that's saying something. Perhaps the weirdest song is this next one from the French band Magma, led by the classically trained drummer and composer Christian Vander. His albums tell the tale of the Kobayans, refugees from Earth who have settled on the planet Kobaya and have their own language, which all of these Magma songs are sung in. From what is generally considered their best record, Mechanic Destructive Commando, here is a song that I don't even know how to begin to pronounce the title of. That's the French band Magma, and one of their science fiction tales from an album called Mechanic Destructive Commando, or syllables to that effect. You have to see the way this thing is spelled on the front of the record, which comes from the mid-70s. That's part of our playlist of sci-fi-themed songs. There are 12 of them on our website. And here's one more, Long Island's own Blue Oyster Cult. This, too, is a sci-fi tale. It tells of a genetically altered human who travels time with his alien guides. The guys in Blue Oyster Cult apparently liked this song a lot. They recorded it three different times. Stephen King liked the song a lot and actually wrote liner notes for a later version. But this is the original from 1974.
I know you'll soon be married, and you want to know where winds come from. Well, it's never said at all on the map that can read. Behind the clock back there, you know, at the Four Winds Bar.
That's Astronomy by Blue Oyster Cult from their album Secret Treaties. There's lots more where this came from. You can check out my full playlist under the title Space is the Place, 12 Cosmic Songs for Sci-Fi Fans. It's up just in time for Comic-Con on our website, soundcheck.org.
And now, Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks...
That was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha.
Now, in honor of Comic-Con this weekend, we here at Soundcheck thought we'd revisit a favorite installment in our series, That Was a Hit. Pop chart guru Chris Melanfi frequently joins me here in the studio with all kinds of bizarre or unlikely hit songs. But usually I've heard most of them. So in this case, I started by asking him what he could possibly have left in his bag of tricks.
Let me start it this way. So Prince is a rock legend, right?
Prince,
you know, one of the two or three biggest artists of the 1980s, a legend for multiple decades. And he has five number one hits to his name. If I asked you to name them, how many could you get?
Doves Cry.
That's one, yep.
Let's Go Crazy.
Very good, that's two.
Kiss.
Three. Very good. The other two are a little tougher.
Party Like It's 1999?
Nope.
No.
No.
Little Red Corvette?
Nope.
Purple Rain?
No. That peaked at number two.
Then I'm stumped.
The last two, I'll jump to the fifth one first. The fifth one is Cream, which was his only number one hit of the 1990s.
I would never have gotten that.
Right, that's a tough one. The toughest of all, the most random of all, the one I brought to you today is Bat Dance, which went to number one in the summer of 1989. It is one of only two platinum singles that Prince has ever released, the other being When Doves Cry. It was a mega hit, and it is so strange. It is, in its full-length version, nearly 7 minutes long, and it's basically a pastiche of dialogue from the movie.
The movie Batman.
The movie Batman, directed by Tim Burton, the global blockbuster of 1989. And it was a late addition to the soundtrack that Prince agreed to record for the Batman movie. It's not really a song exactly, but it's just kind of a mélange. That's Bat Dance. And if you've never heard it, it'll kind of blow your mind.
I don't know if I haven't. I can't wait to hear this. Apparently, a number one hit for Prince called Bat Dance.
Go, go, go with a smile.
Keep busting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris Melanfi, I am impressed. Not so much a song as a mashup, it seems.
Effectively, in 1989, before we even knew what a mashup was.
That is Prince with Bat Dance, and yes, that was a hit. Number one song.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, and you heard some of it in that little clip we just heard, it's, like I said, a pastiche of clips of dialogue from the Tim Burton movie. You hear a lot of Jack Nicholson. You hear a lot of Michael Keaton. You hear a little bit of the Vicki Vale character played by, who was that, Kim Basinger, I think? Then occasionally Prince pops up. I just played the song back for myself a couple of times the last day. As best as I can tell, the only thing Prince says in the whole song, he says, keep busting at one point. And then he just goes right back to the beat and the dialogue. He says, ooh, yeah, I want to bust that body. He quotes a line from a different song from the Prince soundtrack album called If a Man is Considered Guilty for What Goes On in His Mind, Then Give Me the Electric Chair for All My Future Crimes. Not sure what that means.
Great title, though.
And then he eventually just starts yelling, don't stop dancing. It's kind of manic. I honestly don't know how anyone would dance to this. And I'm a massive Prince fan. And I like the record almost in spite of itself. But it's not a terribly danceable record.
Some jarring cuts and transitions.
Yes. The other thing you heard in that clip is what I would call a minor tempo shift. There's a major one, like a gear shift that happens in the middle of the record. And maybe we'll play it. I would compare it to what happens toward the beginning of Franz Ferdinand's Take Me Out, where it goes from, like, you know, a straight rock song to almost a disco rock song. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but even more jarring.
First of all, I'm going to assume that the samples or the allusions to the original Batman theme were all cleared.
They were, not without cost to Prince. What's curious about this project is for Warner Brothers Records, his then label, and as we all know with 2020 hindsight, he had great problems with his label. He eventually broke with them in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. He started tattooing Slave on his cheek to get out of his contract. He really had to kowtow to the powers that be to even do this album. He wanted to do it pretty badly. He signed away all the publishing. You won't find Bat Dance on any Prince compilation I've ever run across.
Well, that's what I was going to add. I mean, it's striking enough that this was a hit.
That's right.
But then it's like the hit that disappeared.
Yeah. Prince has played some songs from the Batman soundtrack live, so it's not as if the entire Batman soundtrack has been wiped from his history. But he's very cagey about it. I'm not sure he plays Bat Dance. I'm not sure how you would play Bat Dance live. One note:
two turntables and a microphone.
I guess. Yeah. One thing that fans note is that when he prints T-shirts that include his entire career, where the Batman soundtrack should go, he includes the name of Scandalous, which was a ballad from that album. He barely even mentions that he did Batman. Yet he wanted to do it. If you look at the video, which, by the way, is another thing you should do if you want to, you know, weird yourself out. Prince, apparently what Prince cottoned onto in the Batman story was the idea that Batman was at one with his villain, the Joker, and that we all have a little bit of Joker and Batman inside us, or at least Prince does. And he's literally got half his face made up as the Joker and half his face made up as Batman, and he's got a wing on one arm and a Joker outfit on the other half of his body. It's kind of insane. But it's that whole Prince dichotomy theme that he's always coming back to, the good and the bad, the good and the evil.
All right, so Chris Milanfi suggests that you not only remember that this was a hit, but that you check out the video, and to facilitate that, we have said video on our website at soundcheck.org. Chris Milanfi is a contributor to NPR Music and pop chart columnist, and joining us for this week's edition of That Was a Hit. The song did reach number one, Chris, despite what is a super creepy ending.
Indeed. Yeah, well, it'll give you nightmares.
Well, thank you very much for that. Good to have you back with us on Soundcheck.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Whoever heard. Stop.
Monday on the show, we celebrate October 13th by counting down 13 artists under 30 years old, all of whom have graced our studio so far this year. We'll listen back to standout performances from the Oklahoma tunesmith John Fulbright, the sisters Haim, the British rocker Jake Bugg, and the rising hip-hop star Leaf, among many others, nine others to be exact. That's Monday on the show. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff, with our interns Bailey Constis, Haley Shaw, and Cooper Mackey. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.